Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, City of Tucson. Get up, everybody. Mom, dad, boy, girl, guess what time it is? It is the Fresh Start Show with Dr. Holt. Listen, you know, one of the most comprehensive and robust shows in the entire nation. There is nothing that looks like our show. Rather, from Michigan to Idaho, from New Mexico to Hawaii, Guam, Alaska, on the east side, on east coast of New York and New Jersey, there is absolutely no show that looks like the Fresh Start Show. I'm telling you right now, we are the most robust thing that is on the air in America today. Listen, go get your cream of wheat, your Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, your Captain Crunch, Fruit Loops, whatever you like, Frosted Flakes, the plain Cheerios up to Honey Nut Cheerio. Go get your cereal, your food, your breakfast, your coffee, your mocha latte, your green tea, whatever is your preference. You want to make sure that you are getting ready for the Fresh Start Show here at 106.3 The Groove. Nothing like us. We talk about the real issues. Again, we're excited for another great show on today. And so we're going to be spending some time. You know, our show is to talk about the issues. It's an offspring of our organization called the Fresh Start International organization, a nonprofit that helps formerly incarcerated people get back on their feet. You know, as I always stated every Saturday about our event coming up, the Fresh Start Expo, which is the one-stop shop for people who have been formerly incarcerated, and also we help people to not become incarcerated. We want you to join us on October 22nd downtown at the Tucson Convention Center from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. where we're going to be helping people that's been formerly incarcerated get on their feet. We're going to help you with your rights and restorations. If you have not voted because you've been disenfranchised to vote due to a felony background, we're going to help you be able to get your rights restored. We're going to help you get your conviction set aside. We're going to help you to get those expungements for marijuana conventions and on the juvenile side. Partnering with our juvenile courts, if you have gotten a felony, your child have gotten a felony in early ages before 18, we can seal those records. So we are going to be helping people at the Fresh Start Expo this October 22nd. You need to tell your homie, your friend, your daughter, your son, your nephew, your niece, your community member, or even member at your congregation, at church or the synagogue. Listen, you want to come to this event. There's none like it. We will have every jurisdiction of court systems there, from city courts to justice courts to superior courts to juvenile courts. Listen, we're going to be there. Pima County attorneys, Pima County public offender, city attorney, and city public defender. We're all going to be there. Housing is going to be there. Second chance to help people get jobs with a felony background. We will be there this October 22nd. So keep your eyes out. Keep your ears out. We will be offering free child care. So if you want to come down to the event and you can't get anyone to babysit your child, bring your kids with you. We're going to put them in a secure place. And the Girl Scout Clubs is going to work with us to offer that child care to make sure that your child is safe. So listen, it's going to be an awesome event. We will be doing haircuts, free hairstyles, primary care, mental health. All those vendors and partners is going to be there as well. So you don't want to miss it. The Fresh Start Expo this October on a Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Our mission is where everyone gets a new beginning. And we believe that on today. And so it's reentry on steroids, like nothing like what we do. And so we're excited for this exciting event that's going to be transformational for our city, transformational for our community, and transformational for our families. Listen, without further ado, let's get to it. We're here with another didactic, prolific, and powerful and prophetic episode talking about a major issue that many times I don't think that we address, we talk about like we should. But I always say that if we don't keep kids behind bars, if we don't keep kids behind books, if we don't keep kids behind books, we will put them behind bars. If kids don't get education, we know kids will be locked into incarceration. If we don't build more schools, we're going to end up building more prisons. And that's just where we are. And the school to prison pipeline is for real. And so today I want to kick off our new month with our show talking about the school to prison pipeline. It is a big issue, and we don't talk about it enough. But when we talk about racism and we talk about racial bias and discrimination and all those different things, many of our kids of color have first experience of what that looks like have come from the educational system and from our school system. And so I think it's important that we talk about these issues because we are routing children from school into prison. And we have seen this time in and time out, how even teachers sometimes staff will weaponize police on campus, or known as SROs, school resource officers, to arrest kids from the schoolhouse to the jailhouse. And so we understand when kids lose all that instructional time, they disengage with their educational system, they begin to be integrated into the incarceration system. Listen, I have a very special guest who's well versed into this, who is a lawyer, but also a former presiding judge, which is also a good friend of mine in our community. I've asked the Honorable Ron Wilson to join me on my show on today and talk about these issues. Formerly presiding judge of the court for city of South Tucson, the South Tucson presiding judge at one point in his career. And so I wanted to have the Judge Wilson to come and join me on today. Thought it was very befitting, one, because of your scholarship, two, because of your experience, but three, because of your race. You're also a judge of color, African-American brother. You understand what it's like. The struggle is real. And then because you're a judge, you also have to be a part of that. So I want to introduce Judge Ron Wilson with us on today. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, Dr. Holt.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. It's a pleasure. I've been wanting to do this for a while, so our timing had just lined up. So I want to take this opportunity. Just tell Radio Land, you know, a little about yourself and your experience as a presiding judge in South Tucson and whatever you want to throw in there.
Sure. I'm originally from the East Coast. I'm born and raised in Springfield, Massachusetts. Moved here to Tucson in 1999. Got my undergraduate degree from Syracuse University and my law degree from Northeastern University School of Law, and concentrated mostly on urban problems and urban violence in terms of my dissertations, theses, other papers, and research was primarily around addressing the root causes behind criminal activity and behavior in inner cities. Moved in here in 1999, worked for Barbara the Wall in the community outreach unit, and then in 2002, I was appointed chief magistrate for the city of South Tucson, where I served in that capacity until 2012. And while there, I started some of the first veterans courts, homeless courts, drug courts, domestic violence courts in the country that were not funded by grants, that were completely funded through the operational budget of the court, as well as the city of South Tucson. During that time, I also taught courses at the University of Arizona on criminal justice, constitutional law, civil rights, Bill of Rights, African American studies, and then I was a faculty member for the Arizona Judicial College and the national director for the American Bar Association's Judicial Division Mental Health Court Committee. So if there was a court anywhere in the country that was looking for resources or information on how to establish a mental health court, as the committee chair and director, I would reach out to them, or they would reach out to me to help develop best practices and strategies around establishing a sustainable and scalable mental health court in their jurisdiction. And that was in partnership with the Center for Court Innovation, as well as the Center for State Courts, and a couple other organizations. Right now, I am a tribal court judge for two indigenous tribes, and I've been doing a lot of DEI work for companies across the country, mostly around social determinants of health and addressing neurodiversity within issues and prejudice, discrimination within a variety of systems, including public school system, education systems, and the legal systems.
Wow.
So so I'm really excited to be on this show. Me and you go back several years.
Yeah.
You know, with NAACP, the Urban League, Dunbar, and really excited that you have this program. I know that it's making a difference in the lives of not only those that you serve, but, you know, their communities in which they reside, because we know that it's much better to have productive, tax-paying, law-abiding citizens living in our communities than individuals who are suffering from various forms of trauma, comorbidity, and as a result of the pain and trauma they suffer from, they engage in quality of life crimes, or are homeless, or even unemployable. So thank you for what you do for our community. You are definitely part of the solution.
Well, thank you, my brother. I really appreciate that. And you're right, we do go back some years, and you know, I thought this is a great opportunity. So this is a short show, so I got about 12 minutes, so let me hit a few things that can make our show really prolific and prophetic for those who are really, you know, having a difficult time coming, you know, out of prison. You know, we have a lot of so-called organizations say they're doing a lot of reentry work, but we have a lot of people still suffering, and a lot of that, those resources are not getting into many of the demographics where it's really needed. And you know that when that happens, it impacts our recidivism rate. But I want to go a little bit further into some of the root causes when we see a lot of these issues in the adulthood. I don't think, you know, Frederick Douglass said it's far easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And I thought about, you know, when we talk about, you know, today's school to prison pipeline, as a judge from your perspective and a lawyer, you know, with a shorter span of an answer so we can hit a few more questions, what would you say school to prison pipeline from your lens, legal lens, and some of the problems we see?
Well, in terms of solutioning the public school systems and even some of the private school systems don't have the resources needed or necessary to address the complex issues that young people bring onto campus. And so without proper resources, without support from the local elected politicians, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for school systems to, you know, turn the page or move the needle. The other issue that we very rarely talk about is the role that the judicial system plays in tearing apart families, removing fathers from the home, creating ancillary and tertiary trauma, and being, you know, somewhat absentee in their responsibility to provide alternatives for these schools. You mentioned incarceration and alternatives to incarceration, alternatives to juvenile detention that are going to provide young people who may not learn traditionally because they've got several barriers, as you mentioned, that they need to overcome, but can learn in an environment that is unique, uniquely qualified to address the challenges that they encounter, and whether those are mental challenges, emotional challenges, physical challenges. And we don't have those institutions, enough of those institutions around in the country, and definitely not in Tucson.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And so And what are your thoughts in regards to when we talk about school to prison pipeline, how that impacts students of color?
Well, all the evidence and data shows that students of color are disproportionately impacted by this pipeline. I've read papers that have indicated private prisons are looking at test scores, specifically of young people of color, in determining how many prison beds they're going to need to build over the next 20 or 20 years based on the test scores of fourth graders. And so, and then when you look at who's testing into the, I would call it the incarceration or throwaway category, it's predominantly African-American men or boys, black boys, who are being raised without strong male role models in their community or in their household.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Because when I'm out, you know, teaching on trauma and talk about the race-based traumas that African-Americans and black and brown children experience, it's no secret, you know, that they are expelled 3 to 6 times more, suspended 3 to 6 times more. And what I've seen on my side, and you've probably seen on your side, is sometimes school staff weaponize police to arrest kids of color. Have you seen that as well?
I've seen that. And there's both implicit and explicit bias in how the code of conduct is interpreted and enforced. And there are some significant disparities in the consequences that young black or brown boys receive versus, you know, predominantly white boys for committing the same infraction. In fact, they could be involved in the same event at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
And the black and brown kids are going to get expelled, and the Asian or Caucasian young men will get detention, or a parent might get called. And so, yeah, that is a significant problem, not just the weaponizing of the SROs, but the explicit, implicit bias that exists within these school systems, and how the consequences and the interpretation of these judicial codes of conduct are being imposed on these young people. And there's no accountability for those hearing officers. There's no accountability in terms of the teachers or the administrators who are responsible for, you know, policing, you know, this system. In fact, a lot of times they don't have any training at all on how to do it. They're just given it, given the responsibility because no one else wants to do it.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, you're exactly right. So what is your experience being part of the judiciary in tribal courts right now?
So tribal court is very different than a municipal court or a county or state trial court. Most tribal courts are looking to utilize restorative justice as a way to resolve conflict. Tribal courts have a very deep understanding of tradition and heritage, elders and ancestors, and the role that their culture plays in addressing root causes. So problem solving isn't about finding someone guilty, waving your finger at them, and then imposing some type of punishment. Many tribal courts, it's about addressing, as you mentioned earlier, the root cause, bringing the parties together to try to find resolution, which is almost more like a mediation, and understanding that the entire community is going to benefit from a resolution that is going to be just, but also is going to impose a consequence that will prevent future behavior. We know that many of our judicial systems are consequences and punishments don't prevent and aren't designed to prevent behavior. It's retribution, revenge, and restitution. And there's no interest at all in recovery or rehabilitation in the tribal courts. That's not the their focus. Their focus is truly in restorative justice, rehabilitation, and reunification.
Good, 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 good. Also, man, listen, most definitely this has been great having you on. I'm going to ask you one last question before we get ready to end the show. As a African-American judge, what are your thoughts? How important is it to have more African-Americans as judges? One thing I see, I remember last year I was walking down the hallway of the Pima County Superior Court, and there was one thing that really stood out was out of all the portraits of the judges that sat on the bench, there was not one judge that looked like me. I'm not saying they're not out there, but I have not seen it where it's really out there. And so that tells me that 9 times out of 10, when defendants of color go before court, they probably won't see a judge that look like them, especially if they're African American. How important it is it to have more African American judges on the bench?
Well, that's extremely important, but you want Thurgood Marshall, not Clarence Thomas.
Yes.
And so, you know, although we want racial and ethnic diversity, it's extremely important that those judges of color that are appointed or elected truly understand the rule of law, are not only competent, but experts in interpreting the law, and have some empathy and common sense when it comes to, you know, imposing consequences and sentences. Sometimes their hands are tied because of the sentencing guidelines. But, you know, one of the things that has been extremely disappointing for me, especially here in Southern Arizona, is that you do have judges of color or judges who are female, and they do not decide or rule in a way that demonstrates a certain amount of cultural intelligence. Their decisions, their rulings, their attitudes, their judicial demeanor is no different than some of the most sexist and racist judges that I've unfortunately have had to train or work with over the past 20 years. And so, yes, we want more female judges, and yes, we want more judges of color. But they need to be culturally intelligent, they need to be empathetic, and they need to be courageous enough to stand up against some of these laws that we currently have on the books that have been meant and designed specifically to oppress and marginalize those who are economically disadvantaged, as well as people of color.
Wow, powerful, man. Well, listen, this is the Honorable Judge Ron Wilson on the Fresh Start Show. And we appreciate, you know, your service and all that you have brought to our city and to the community and to the judiciary. And so, again, we thank you for your time. I know you're a very busy man. But thank you for making that time to be my guest on the Fresh Start Show. Most definitely, this is the first, but this certainly won't be the last. We will try to get you back in rotation sometime before the end of the year to talk about the issue. So thank you again, Your Honor, for your service.
Thank you for having me, Doctor. It was a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Well, you have a great day, sir. Thank you so kindly.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was the Honorable Judge Ron Wilson with us on today. We appreciate his perspective in regards to his legal lens on incarceration, the school to prison pipeline. And we're going to be talking about this issue more and more as we go throughout the month. I got some other guests, some that's running for Justice of the Peace. That's going to be our guest in a few weeks. So tune in with the Fresh Start Show. We're looking for some great things. Remember, we will be at the Tucson Convention Center on October 22nd, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on that Saturday morning. Join us. It's the one-stop shop to help people who have been formerly incarcerated. We also will be doing some warrant squashing. If you got a pending warrant and you had a failure to appear, listen, we want to help you squash that warrant before you get arrested and be thrown into the county jail. So come down to the Fresh Start Show. We will be there. Also, remember, the Fresh Start is having a Fresh Start breakfast fundraiser. Our fundraiser is next month, October 19th, on on a Friday morning at the St. Andrews Presbyterian Church in Tucson, Arizona. Tickets at $35. If you want to get a table of eight, it's $250. Listen, I'm out of time. Been a great show. Make sure you tune in every Saturday morning at 7:30. We will be here at 106 The Groove. Take care. Have a wonderful morning.